Okay, we continue in the Sefer Bilvavi. We're on page Kuf Tzadi Vav, right at the bottom of the page. And in the English, we're in the middle of chapter 19. We're discussing the a very deep concept now, where a person has internal spiritual qualities that in turn become enclosed within the body of the human being. And for example, we said the attribute of love, which its root is a love for spiritual things, love for Hashem, love for Torah, love for the Jewish people. And when a neshama is enclosed within a body, and when the body expresses it, it expresses this power of love for what the body wants, such as it likes to eat, it likes to play, and things like that. So we're four lines from the bottom. Ma'o achilek ha'yisodi bein ha'argeshim shal neshama l'argesh shel guf. What is the fundamental difference between the feelings of the soul and the feelings of the body? Hargeshim shal neshama him hargeshim ruchaniyim. The feelings of the soul are soulful feelings. U'behechrech shehim hargeshim dakim. And by necessity, they are very subtle, refined, edel manifestations of that characteristic and of that feeling. Haneshama ein agasa, the soul is not coarse. Kol hamal shel neshama zu hisbatlus. The essence in the neshama is the concept of hisbatlus. Hisbatlus means to be batel, to be nullified. In other words, if a feeling of being nullified before anything greater than it. The neshama has no ego. Where there is hispatlus, where there is this nullification, there is silence and respect. Memela ein bagasus. Therefore, there is no coarseness. Okay? It's very important. So now, when it gets, uses the attribute, it uses it in the purest way possible, in the way it's meant to be used. Not with its agenda. It just does it the way it's meant to be used. So, it's supposed to love. It loves the way a soul would love. There's a difference between a person who's selfish and selfless would be using an attribute. A neshama will use the attribute of ava as selflessness, and we'll be using it in ways which are the way God intended people to use it. The body, on the other hand, can use the midah of ava, love, in a selfish way, because he loves himself, and will use it in a way that God did not intend it to be used. And in a certain way, and that is the way that a human being is supposed to, I mean, you're going to say, well, Hashem, what do you want from me? I'm a body. It's going to express itself the wrong way, right? So we'll see in a minute. So on to the next page. On the other hand, as opposed to that, the feelings of the body that relate to the world of the physical, first of all, they're mamish, the opposite to the coarseness. L'dugma, for example, a person loves to eat. The essential eating is something that's much more coarse than the types of things that the neshama loves. So the neshama isn't into a big, you know, feeding frenzy. The neshama doesn't get excited by that. So, you know, it's going to express itself in different ways. Now the challenge in life is to get the body on side with the soul and to love the way the soul loves. That's a real trick. And that's why Chazal say a few people in this world, Hashem repeated their names twice when he spoke to them. As we know in last week's parsha, right before Avram was prepared to slaughter Yitzhak, it said, Avram, 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 Avram. And as we learned in the long ago, in the Nefesh HaChaim, that meant that there was no gap between the Avram above and the Avram below, the inner Avram and the outer Avram. The Avram of love from the neshama and the Avram of love in the goof. There was no gap. It was perfected. So that's what we're trying to do. But it's very hard. It's very hard. The body initially wants it the other way. So now he makes a very interesting observation here. He says, Aval, kishinis bonein, if we, now remember, why is this so important? Because if you don't have this dakius, this edelkeit, this refineness, you are never going to have Yerushalayim. You will never fear anything better than you, greater than you. So that's why he's talking a lot about this edelkeit. So he says, okay, she's bein in here. When you reflect, you'll notice something interesting. Shigam b'nei adam shovim ochel, people who like to eat. In general, there's two groups. There's two groups of eaters. Yesh saman oshim shovim dvar madinim zachim v'dakim. There are those people who like to eat foods that the foods themselves are very delicate and refined and light. You know, there's people who will eat cucumbers, porridge, tea, you know, sponge cake, you know, kind of plain stuff, but, you know, not, you know, sharp, spicy tasting foods, you know, like very bland, boring, but refined. We're not talking about, you know, processed refined. We're boiled chicken, you know, our parents, my parents at least, right? Because that's what they ate in their house. Okay, you could say a little bit had to do with poverty, but it also had to do with the way you eat. You know, you eat boiled chicken. Now that's kind of boring. But there's a certain refinement to that kind of eating, right? There's that kind of eating. And then there's v'yesh anoshim ohavim ochel yoser gasa, those who like more coarse food, you know, like a hero sandwich, banana splits, you know, Tex-Mex, you know, like spicy. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with spicy, I'm saying, but like ornate, you know, what do you call it? What do you call those? Viennese tables. Okay, like try to make the pastry as sophisticated as possible, right? I mean, come on, stack up one of these petit fours against a piece of sponge cake. Okay, just like think about like which one looks more spiritual. You know what I'm saying? Which one is more nullified? And which one is saying, hi, I'm here, eat me. Don't you notice me? Come here. I saw you walking by. Now come over here. Don't I look attractive? Come on, just have a lick. You know, it's like that whole idea, you know, like pizza. You know, again, I'm not saying you're not allowed to eat these foods, but it's a degree of sophistication. I know first time, so in the yeshiva, you know, years ago, right, there was a cook, a lady was a cook, right? So the food was, you know, kind of not exciting, you know. So I don't know what, so one day for lunch, she made pizza. So the place was going nuts, you know, like, whoa. So I brought to one of Rosh Yeshivas. Rosh Yeshiva says, what's he doing? Like, what is this? He's used to bread, he's used to soup. He says, what is it? So he went to one of the boys, because one of the boys says, Rebbe, this is pizza! So he said, you know what? I don't need this pleasure in this world. I don't need this. This is beyond what's necessary for me. Okay, he was a tzaddik. He was mamish a tzaddik. So when he looks at pizza, he says, what does pizza have to do with my avodas Hashem? You know, he wouldn't eat it. You know, and for some reason, my memories, we only had it once. I think they kind of told the, you know, thank you so much for wanting to make it good for the boys and this and that. But this is already too much gashmius. You know, it was, just hold, don't even ask any questions yet. Don't even ask. You're not ready to ask a question. I haven't read more. I'll let you ask. I promise. But I need at least to read, you know, another page and a half, because he hasn't even developed the idea. Okay. It's a question of refinement. That's what it's a question of, how refined is the person's neshama. Okay, but there are foods, you know, and there's obviously, you know, a continuum here. It's not either. I mean, there's total refinement and total, you know, gluttony and grubkeit, and then you got, you know, somewhere along the line. Okay, but you know, it's like, you know, like, these images, you know, of a richtig tailgate party, you know, like a real tailgate party. You know what I'm saying? Where you know, they're there 3 hours before the game, and you know, and they got like every kind of delight possible, like every food and every, you know, every beer and everything, you know, and it's just like, whoa, you know, and okay, that's the extreme, you know, and then you have, you know, your tea and your sponge cake and, you know, water and boiled chicken and that kind of routine, right? And the truth is, the body doesn't need anything more than what I'm describing now, and it's probably a lot healthier for you. Besides anything else, it's probably a lot healthier. Then you have in between, right? So what's the point? It's just showing. He's saying Hanakuda Hazu, this point of what your food preferences are, you know, Mora al Madregas Gilui Hanashama Bottom. It shows how much of the soul is being revealed within the person or not. In other words, the body, if it's the body wants the most it can have. If you let the body have free rein, it would be a chazer. And that's what society is catering to the chazer in you. You know, you don't want to have boring. When do you have boring food? When you get to be our age and you can't eat the fancy food anymore because it's not nice to you. It hurts you. You know, and then, you know, you're looking for the whole wheat, cracked wheat, food just so you can do what you gotta do. Right? But, you know, you'd like the fancy foods, but your waistline can't take it, and the doctor says you're gonna get a heart attack, so you figure you like living better than you like the hero sandwich, so you knock off the hero sandwich, not cause you don't want it, you really want it, but you can't have it. And that's a blessing in disguise, right? But you see, you know, because the less you're into food, you know, Chosav always talks about this, says you got a goof and a neshama. The more you address one, the less you're gonna address the other. It's like, you know, you can't have it both ways. You cannot eat a hero sandwich and be close to Hashem. It's not possible. I mean, the real hero sandwich, you know, like these, you know, 18 inchers, you know, and right up to the top. Because it's screaming body. And when you're into the body, you know, the soul just gets pushed way back to the side. If you're into the soul, you ain't looking for that kind of stuff. You're not even interested in this stuff. You're saying, my soul is saying, I want to be close to Hashem. Every minute I'm learning Torah, helping people, davening and learning. Okay, you got to eat too, and eating is part of my avodas Hashem. But you know what? Only in so far as it helps my avodas Hashem, not so far that it excites my body. And you know, and if boiled chicken will do the trick, boiled chicken will do the trick. The less I get excited about food, the more I can get excited about spiritual things. And that's the way the human being is. It's not possible the human being can fool himself and say, you know, I have to have, I really, you know, my lights go on when, you know, a seven topping pizza comes. Wow! You know, then you can't be wowing over a Shmoneser. It can't go in the same container. It just can't. Because it's what you really want. If you really enjoy, and you know, it's not to say you can't enjoy the taste of food. Hashem has created it. So therefore, part of the refined foods, you know, it's basically the refined foods are the things in its most natural state. An apple. And Hashem wants you to eat apples. And those are refined foods, where the taste is the taste that came directly from Hashem. And you eat it with that recognition of the taste that came directly from Hashem. You eat a pear, you know, you eat some nuts. You know, these are all the foods that Hashem has prepared for you, and you, mamish, feel I'm eating from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You know, you have to drink something, so you drink something with the least artificialness to it. You know, least artificial. You're eating other, you eat meat. Eat meat, you know, Gemara says, you know, Tzaddikim don't eat meat that often. Amoratzim eat meat all the time. You know, even meat, you know, you reserve that for special occasions. You know, it's not, you know, there's degrees of like, you know, if it's not part of your life, I see, you know, I'm on this diet for the last 2 weeks already, you know. It's like, I kind of said, you know, I'm gonna stop enjoying food, you know. And, you know, you're eating all these simple foods. So, you know what, I don't spend a lot of time eating. You know, I eat my yogurts, that's 3 minutes, you know. eat lunch, you know, the tuna, that's another 5 minutes, and it's not exactly something you're pouring over and enjoying, and whatever. So really, like, you're in another zone. You're in a different, not that I'm professing to be spiritual at all, but I'm just saying you're in a different zone. It's not, on the other hand, you know, people preparing these elaborate feasts, and it's gotta be great, it's gotta be good. I mean, that's where your mind is, right? Tzaddikim don't eat this kind of food. Again, you look, what does a tzaddik eat? What do other people eat? You know, that at least is my North Star. That's my goal. I mean, I'd like to be a tzaddik, wouldn't I? You don't see tzaddikim ever fress. They don't fress. They don't eat pizza. They don't eat hero sandwiches. They eat very simple foods, and they're very healthy. They're very healthy people. Tzaddikim go for walks. You know, tzaddikim, they eat light. They eat like the Rambam tells them to eat. But it's a refined, delicate way of eating. You can see by the foods what they're eating. So he's saying this really shows where your soul is, how much revealed. To the degree that the feelings of the body are more sensitively spiritually orientated, so that shows us that point, you know, is not, hasn't been totally lost in its appearance. In other words, you got an easier chance. Who has the better chance to hook into spirituality? The guy who's more refined in his eating. And this manifests all kinds of ways. You have all these health food nuts. Right? There is some kind of spirituality there. It's just misguided. You know, these people who only eat natural foods. So like, what is it? They're looking for something. They're looking for something, right? They just are forgetting Hashem, and it's just going somewhere else. And then the health food is becoming a void of Zorah. That's the problem. It's taking that it is feeling. It is just something more special. But, you know, they're missing Hashem, and therefore they're just going in the wrong direction. But in other words, if you're trying to help a person get closer to Hashem, you'll have more success with the person who naturally is going to eat more of these refined foods than the other one, because the other one, at least this epis, something in the neshama that's getting through into the body, it's translating into the body. The person, you know, people who aren't into food, if you're looking for who are the people to try to be makarov first, look at what they eat. You know, look at them at a kiddush. How many people got 7 hands filled with food? I don't know how, but they manage. And they have others who, you know, okay, take a little piece of sponge cake, you know, a little this, a little that. Okay, I'm not saying it's 100% proof. Maybe they're not social leaders. Maybe they're in the closet. They're eating everything. I don't know. But just look what people eat. And again, it's getting less and less and less of refined eaters, you know, but more and more of the coarse eaters, as it were. So that's the one. And those that their feelings are more coarse. Hisava, we can learn from them that not only the spiritual feelings to go from spirituality to physicality has thickened. Even the second part, even the spiritual part of the neshama, shudak, even that part, hisava v'nasagas, has become coarse. A person like that is like really in deep trouble of ever coming into this zone. So it comes out like this. Again, there's a maximum of 2 types of challenges here. He says, "Ki ha'ivu shelo, hu rak ivu meruchonius lagashmish vargergesh hadak nishar." So the person who's eating in a refined way, so where's the thickness? Where's the coarseness? It's only in the transition when it comes from spirituality to physicality, and the feelings still are in the neshama, still they're subtle. So olav lava rak shalav achet shalav gashim. You only have to make 1 transition. In other words, the guy who eats subtly, so you know it's there somewhere. So now he just got to, you know, transition from subtle eating to subtle spirituality. But he's in the realm of refinement. He's in the parsha of refinement. It's just not translating enough into the neshama's world. But at least if you talk to him, he's on the wavelength. He eats refined. Okay, so now we can just jump it into the spiritual refinement. Avodah sohurak lahatik es argeshim shalagashmias. Our job is just to transition, move the nice subtle feelings in the physical realm, and not to turn them into spiritual feelings that are refined. But you're dealing with a refined potential that's already expressed itself in one area the way the body expresses. Right? When the body expresses, it's going to look differently. Okay? So if the person eats in a refined way, okay, now let's take that refinement, let's put it into refinement of loving Hashem, loving the Jewish people, and that kind of stuff. But if he's thick and coarse in both areas, in the transition from spiritual out to physicality, and also from this refinement to thickness the other way, he's got two jobs on his hand. You've got to take those feelings and make them more sensitive to Bichlal. Person has no sensitivity at all in any area. He's got to give him the Yoser Zach. He's got to be more sensitive. At least removes one barrier, mehagu, from the body. There'll be a little bit of revelation of the soul because of this refinement of feelings. But then, then he got another job of elevating the person from those physically sensitive feelings to the spiritual sensitive feelings. Let's recap this idea. In other words, the neshama basically, deep down in the neshama, is very refined, very subtle, very edel, and really loves all these things. Now, what do you see with the person? So if you see a person, so inside, certain midos will in the neshama, manifest in a certain way. When it gets in the body, it manifests a different way. All right? So love. Love, you know, the neshama is a very refined, a very, very subtle, very quiet, very beautiful kind of love. The love in the body is a different kind of love for different kind of things. But he's picking food as an example, but he's going to give you so many other examples in a minute. But the fact is, if you're looking at a person and he's a grubachazer, like he is the guy who goes 7 times to the all you can eat, you know, he's mamish, so he doesn't even have any refinement, period. So you're gonna tell him, that neshama is gonna start thinking delicately. The guy isn't even in the world of delicateness. You know, very unrefined. So like, the first job is to get him to be, just to understand what refinement means. Get him to put a fork and knife in his hands. Just to start that. And if you can get him there, then maybe we can say, okay, now, you're a little more refined, now we can think of spirituality. But that's 2 steps. The person you see is already, has an edelkeit. Then all you gotta do is give them the Yiddishkeit. And they're much easier. So if you're looking, who is the person you can reach out to? Right? Just look at how they eat. Look at how they act. You know, a person who's noisy and loud and all these things is gonna be very hard. Very hard to turn them around. Cause there's so many steps you gotta work on. How are you gonna change that first step? That's gonna take you years and years and years till you're gonna finally come to the second step. But the person you see has an Edelkeit in character. Just doesn't know. Then it's a question, in other words, they nullify themselves already in this world. They don't even realize it. I don't know if you want to call it, I don't know what English terms we give for these words. I don't even, introvert is part of it, but not all of it. But the person who says, I'm not such a big guy, I don't have to have the fancy things in life, right? So he's already nullifying himself even to the food a little bit. So that person can nullify himself before Kadosh Baruch Hu. But the person who's got to have it all, he doesn't nullify himself even in front of a chicken, like in front of nobody. You see how it is. People have, what do you call that thing? Lactose intolerance. So you've got lactose intolerance, buddy. Just understand. Now stop eating pizza, stop eating cheese, and live without it. Really, there's enough food in the world for lactose intolerant people. I'm not talking like really severe, terrible case, can't eat anything. But there's enough food in this world. Baruch Hashem. No, we have to make pills that you take before so then you can eat the pizza. It's like nothing's gonna stop me. Nothing's gonna stop me. Baruch Hashem, you get older, the sexual drive is going down. Baruch Hashem, he's helping you. He's helping you that you're being able to think more of spiritual things. Because other things are not on your mind. When you're younger, it's a force. It has to be reckoned with. Hashem says, okay, you're getting towards the end of life. I want you to start getting a little more spiritual. can start thinking, I won't plague you with this drive so much that you're having so much trouble struggling. It kind of peters away. Right? So then we'll have pills to keep it going. It's like Hashem is blessing you. You know, as you get older, all these things, you know, start to shut down slowly. You can't have pepperoni pizza anymore, right? You can't have these spicy foods anymore. You know, it comes back, and if you like it or not, by the time you leave this world, you're going to be eating what you ate when you were a little kid. That's how it's going to end up, and that's the way maybe it should have been most of the time. You know, and hopefully by then, now the problem is if you're not thinking spiritual at all, you're miserable till the end. You keep saying, well, why can't I have this? I wish I could have this. You start dreaming of all these things. You start getting into depressive states. Well, I remember when the good old days when I could chunk down a whole cheesecake after, you know, 1,000 Fleagles, you know, whatever. You know, now what can I do? You know, if you go to King Solomon's table, you know, you think of the past. Oh, I used to eat 5 plates. Now, Nebuch, I barely can finish 1 plate. You know, it's like, what's happened to me? It's like, thank God that, you know what, now you can think of more important things in your life. Right? So that's what he's saying is, how much of the now, you're gonna say, Rabbi, is it a sin to eat a pizza? It's not a sin. It's not enough air to eat pizza. It's not enough air to eat fancy food. And there is an Indian and he's going to talk about later on Shabbos, which have nicer food, but you'll see how he describes it. You know, nicer food on Shabbos means one thing, a kugel. Gemara says, one extra food. That's it. Yontif, 2 extra foods. Yontif. So now imagine how covered Shabbos was in Poland. A whole week long, what did you have to eat? Potatoes and borscht. That was supper. Potatoes and borscht. Oh, so bad. You know, think about it. What do your kids eat? Let's think for a minute. Your kids are not so sophisticated. My kids are happy with Wacky Mac. That's it. You know, he makes some Wacky Mac, takes 5 minutes, they eat the Wacky Mac, finished. No, they're not so sophisticated. You know, unfortunately, the world out there tells them you have to have pizza, you have to have wings, you have to have this, you have that. Okay. But it's relatively simple. So in Poland, you had potatoes, you had borscht. That's it all. Come Shabbos, oh, we're gonna have chicken. Shabbos, kleinigkeit, boiled chicken. Yeah, it's chicken for Shabbos, and we'll make and instead of potatoes, it'll be a potato kugel. You know, it'll present a little nicer because it's Shabbos. The food ain't much different. I've got some chicken. And that was it. Some chicken soup. Because you're making chicken already. It's boiled chicken already. Some Amelia have chicken soup. You know, they wouldn't have had chicken soup if they were making all kinds of fricassees and chveis, fancy things. You know, there's too many other things to do. Right? So that was Kavod Shabbos. You know, here it's I don't want to even discuss what it's turned into. All right, could be, you know, for certain people who are far away, that's the only way they're going to enjoy the Shabbos. Okay, it's all not an Avera. None of this is an Avera, right? Depression isn't an Avera either. But what it will lead you to, that's where the problems are. What it will lead you to, those are going to be the Averas. If the body needs to always be fed, it has to be fed in a fancy way, then it's the time you waste on it. And then it's just a whole lack of sensitivity that doesn't get developed. Okay. So even how you eat is a whole other issue. So it's that degree of sensitivity he's talking about, knowing how much of the neshama is expressing itself. Okay, Shelley, go ahead. Even though we're not finished, but I have to have rachmonis on you. I can't make you keep it in forever.
I heard once that you're supposed to try everything at least once because God gave you all these things and all these things. It's kosher. You're supposed to try to leave.
Perfect.
So
that does not include pizza.
That was my question, because it's not in its natural state.
Yeah, whatever Hashem makes.
But then a boiled chicken, let's face it, it doesn't come boiled. You gotta.
No, there's no mitzvah. No, there's a mitzvah to eat meat because Hashem says for the honor of Shabbos, you eat meat. We have karbanos. Our karbanos were meat. The covet Shabbos, you're eating a piece of meat.
You should have like cucumber and nuts in a natural state, so we may as well be vegetarians.
you primarily are, but since Hashem says Shabbos is special, and the reason I want you to eat meat, there's an important reason why Hashem wants you to eat meat. The Mefarshim talk a lot about this. Not just Shabbos, to know that you're not an animal. If you believe in animal rights, if you're a pita freak, okay, the pita freaks are the biggest lowlifes in the world. You know why? You want to know why? Because I have no right to do anything to that animal. That animal has rights. When you say an animal has rights to the degree like almost human rights, what does that say about you? That says you're very close to an animal. If you're very close to an animal, then you can start behaving like an animal, and that's okay too. And that's where you had all the problems of the Dor HaMabul. That's why right after the Mabul, Hashem said to Noach, I want you to eat meat. If you respect animals' rights to the point where you can't eat it, then you're equating yourself, you're just a rational animal. That's the only difference. Then animals act like animals. And all the pita freaks are all pro-gay. I'll guarantee you. I guarantee you, they're in the same kvutza.
We're getting way off.
But it's the same, but it's important, it's the same idea. Because if you're an animal, no holds barred. But of course, one, you can't touch an animal. I didn't say, Chazal said it hundreds of years ago. So why do you eat an animal? If I eat an animal, that means I'm not an animal. That means I am in control of this world. And I rule the animals. Because I am I'm a shtick neshama from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I eat it every Shabbos just to remind myself I'm not an animal. That's why I eat it. And that's why all you need is boiled chicken. You don't need sauteed this, sauteed that, and just eat the boiled chicken, and now you know you're not an animal. On Shabbos you have the neshama. Listen, on Shabbos when you get the neshama yisera, supposedly, it is, we're just having trouble finding it. But that extra neshama, the neshama yisera has a lot of trouble expressing itself with a very super fancy gourmet meal. The neshama yisera expresses itself best over eating a piece of boiled chicken. Really? Because that's why you're eating the chicken. It's not because it tastes good, because meat, but derech teva doesn't taste good. Really doesn't. You have to spice it. Without spices and any of these things, it really, that's why you only make a bracha shahakal on it. Shahakal is the lowest level bracha. It's the least thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because there's not that much to the chicken. When you salt it and this and that. So that's why you eat the chicken on Shabbos. That's the only reason. That's why you eat fish on Shabbos. I don't want to get into the fish. There's a reason why you eat fish on Shabbos, because the fish were the ones who remained after the Mabul. Right? When the Mabul wiped everybody out, the fish ruled. We don't want the fish to rule. We rule. If we rule, there can't be a Mabul. It means we have to not be an animal. Therefore, I eat a fish. When I eat the fish, I have in mind that I'm not an animal also. There's reasons. Every piece of food you eat on Shabbos, there's a reason for it. You have to have these thoughts. Then the Neshama Yisera feels very comfortable. So that's what you... On Shabbos, we have time to do that, time to reflect and to eat in the way it's meant to be. But that Gemara, that Yerushalmi, that you're quoting, Shelley, yeah, and if somebody comes along and brings a quince, a quince, I know that's a type of a... Right? Sammy could tell you everything. He knows all these foods. Right? It's a type of fruit, no? It's a type of something, right? Yeah. Hashem made a quince? Okay. So you know what? You make a bracha... And now you have 12 quinces. You have a piece of a quince.
That's my point. It's not what you eat, it's how you eat, how much you eat.
Exactly. But I want to eat the food the way Hashem packaged it. So I will thank him for what he packaged, not for what the gourmet packages. There's, for example, so do you make a bracha when you see an amazing piece of art? No, why not?
There's a bracha if you go to the zoo and you see some...
Because that's what God made. Okay. That's what God made. But you hear an amazing symphony. It like blows you away. Like mamish enjoy it. It's like, it's an incredible, certain Goyish songs like are really good, They are, Certain ones are really good. Even Jewish songs are really good. Some, right? But you don't, and it takes your breath away. You don't make a bracha. the most beautiful piece of artwork. You don't make a bracha. Why not? You're enjoying it. But it's not what God is doing. So you don't make a bracha on it. You don't make a bracha on it. Now, on the other hand, you just heard a beautiful concert, no bracha. That was a shtickle piece of quince. Right? You make a bracha. Bird praise. Why? Because that's what God directly sent me. It was mamish, a care package from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you have to be sophisticated. There's a spiritual sophistication required. So if you have a chance to get another hug from Hashem, right? There were tzaddikim who saved money so that once a year when the new fruits came, they would eat one new fruit. And believe me, when they ate the fruit, it would be one fruit for the whole house. And that's how you ate the mitzvah. So it's a whole different mindset. But that's because there's a refinement within the person. Right? Again, so, I mean, listen, we live in a society that's so the opposite. We were all raised so the opposite. You know, it's so hard to, and that's why it's so hard for us to internalize a lot of these spiritual messages. The world out there is so not spiritual, right? Every commercial, everything, the foods they tell you to eat, right? It just doesn't, you know, so it's so the opposite. So it's hard to feel that that's important because we've lost that sensitivity. You know, even like, you know, our parents, the only drink they drank was tea. That's all they drank. That's all they drank. And it wasn't stam. You know, I remember my uncle, Oliver Shalom, you know, he was like the senior Michalowicz who came. You know, it was like, and my aunt, Oleha Shalom, like, the mamish made this tea, and it was hot. And then there were two different teas. There was, you know, and now when you drink tea, if it's hot, you can't slurp. Can you slurp tea? Hot tea? Right? So his mom is just a little zip. That's a refined way of eating. We're the Coca Pepsi generation. You know, you take the thing. Right? No, that's coarse. That we all do that. Right? You know, can or glass. You know, I remember the glasses of tea would sit out, you know, if it was a hot day, it was really in the middle of the summer, okay, middle of the summer, they'd leave the glass out and it would be 2 hours till it cooled down and then they would drink it. But I never saw my uncle slurp things and guzzle down. Well, it's a zip, a zip, a zip. It's a whole world that it's not existent anymore. It just doesn't exist. And if anybody does it, you know, they do it more to be cool, to show we're different than these people, you know. Or people who want to be healthy, and they've made an avot, their bodies into an avodah zarah, so they eat the foods that'll enable their body to be their avodah zarah. So that they'll, you know, they, you know, people will never eat carbs, they'll never eat this, and they eat like to be skinny as a pig, so that everyone will praise them how skinny they are. Okay, it's the same problem. So it's no avera, but it's like, where are you at spiritually? Those are big indicators, and you know, and it's hard, especially, you know, young boys. Yeah, come on, young boys are mamish a bunch of chazerim, you know. Yeah, on Shabbos, we give them the chicken wings. They're mamish a bunch of pigs. They're mamish. They grab it with their fingers. You know, I'm not talking when once it's on your plate, before it gets to your plate, from the tamchui, from the big plate, you just grab them. Right? And okay, listen, we want them to come to shul. That's what they're going to come to shul. You can't fight City Hall in certain areas. You know, the other shuls are giving chicken wings. They're not going to come to our shul. So you're going to say, no, we're going to give you guys a hot tea. Hot tea and sponge cake. Now, isn't that exciting? You know, listen, we want to keep the kids in shul. So, you know, that's, we don't have a choice. Certain things we just don't have a choice. If I'm going to start giving boiled chicken in my house, the kids are going to hate Shabbos. That's all there is to it. I'm going to hate Shabbos. You know, it'll be a long time. I mean, I just, what can I tell you? So that's the issue over here. So what he's saying is, you know, it plays itself out even in areas that appear to be so not spiritual, but they're big indicators of what's going on. Okay, so let's continue. Binakuda Zoo, bottom of the page.
Just a quick question.
Yes, sir.
So basically, the complexity and the quantity of the food that you serve is inconsistent, like particularly talking to Shabbos table or Simcha, is inconsistent with the kedusha of the table itself. Like, it's inconsistent with Shabbos.
Is this a setup question, Rafal?
Oh, yeah, a big time.
So the question that's being asked for the sake of those who are listening is, one second, is the elaborateness of a Shabbos meal inconsistent with the spiritual theme of Shabbos? So the answer is, now you're going to say I'm really a diplomat here, is who you're cooking for. So let's go back to this past week's parsha. Avram Avinu had three guests, right? What did Avram Avinu serve the three guests? He took three cows. He shechted them. Why three cows? He gave each one a pickled tongue. Each one a pickled tongue. Is this the tzaddik Avram? His mom is the tzaddik. Well, he's prepared a repast. Wasn't even Shabbos. He'll start to make cakes and things like this. What's going on? The answer is, he knew who he was feeding. He was feeding three idol worshippers. He has to meet them where they're at. So if he would give the idol worshippers boiled chicken, they'd run away from him as well. So he had to prepare food knowing where, I mean, why else would, Avram Avinu, his mom is a tzaddik, is he into food? And the Torah describes it, even. So why? Because he was talking to a bunch of idol worshippers. Now, idol worshippers who worship the dust on their feet, right? And they're so into idol worship. So Avram's going to try to be makar of them. Where's he going to start from? He's got to start them from where they can appreciate things. So therefore, if you're having secular Shabbos guests and they bechlal are so far away from Yiddishkeit and a beautiful Shabbos meal if you touch their stomach, it may touch their minds too, then there might be a place for it. I can imagine if you invite a secular person, give them boiled chicken and a kind of boring meal, like, you know, they don't understand that Shabbos is special. They need it in a language they can understand. And it's a special meal, really fancy meal. Shabbos must be very fancy. But if it's just the two of you alone, so then you don't need it. But again, you keep within how you eat during the week, one step better. So whatever that one step, right now, you know, we hate boiled chicken. If you made boiled chicken, it wouldn't be covered Shabbos. It wouldn't be covered Shabbos, because I really don't like it. It'll take me years to learn to like boiled chicken. I'll practice during the weekday, but not on Shabbos. So you can't. But you know, whatever you have during the week. So Shabbos is one step better. One, you want to make a dessert. You want to make just something. But it really does not need, you know, such spent, you know, elaborateness for the meal. Unless you're doing Kiruv. If you're doing Kiruv, I hear where there's the place. But if it's not Kiruv, you know, you gotta do something. Listen, you have kids. So, okay, you buy some, even the Gemara says, you buy some candies. Okay, they don't get candy a whole week. If you're a good parent, you don't give them candy a whole week. Right? Even my teenage, older kids, they look forward to their Shabbos treat. What a bunch of achveis, I don't even know what the candies are called, you know. Gummy worms. Okay, so on Shabbos they have some gummy worms. Okay, for this world where all kids are so far, you know, giving them gummy worms and that's all they're getting extra, that's pretty little. But for them, that's a big treat. So that way they'll appreciate Shabbos. But as the adult, you should already be, you know, big tzaddikim don't eat a lot at a meal. Big tzaddikim hardly eat anything. So the meals, you know, again, it's a white tablecloth. The wife makes the challahs, you know. Those are the things, you know. Okay, and you've got, you know, one dish, it's nicer. You know, this is the one day of the week you have some roast. You have some roast, the covered Shabbos. You have one piece of roast. That's all. One piece of roast, the covered Shabbos. You have to have five pieces of roast. One piece of roast, the covered Shabbos. You're having fish because you're supposed to eat fish. It's the foods that are on the spiritual menu. Okay? But three kugels? What do you need three kugels for? One kugel. One kugel is enough. It should be in moderation. Okay, now that I've destroyed your shalom bias, we'll continue tomorrow with the topic of Ava, with love.